Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and if you happen to be within earshot of me, you're probably living in what is, commonly referred to as the Mountain Empire. Would you agree with that? You hear it a lot. I know all the Chevy dealers, their advertising association is called the Mountain Empire Chevy Dealers, and that sounds so impressive. I was just wondering, you know I'm going to check on stuff when I don't know where it came from. I just cannot live with not knowing. Mountain Empire, apparently we're not the only one. There is a Mountain Empire area called San Diego. It is a rural area of southeastern San Diego County in California. And the other Mountain Empire listed is in Appalachia, which is us. A rural area of northeast Tennessee and southwest Virginia. But I did see reference, I did Google that there is one other area called the Mountain Empire, and it's in Utah. So we do not have a total rights to that terminology, but it is used quite often in this area. So I just thought you might want to know that. Big changes coming to Upper East Tennessee new car dealerships. I'm not going to disclose them right now because the deals have not been finalized. But we're going to see some dealerships change in hands in the not-too-distant future. I respect the people who own the stores too much, the employees that work at the stores too much. And in total truthfulness, I do not believe that any of these changes will be earth-shattering or monumental as far as the way the business is run. You know, we're still in this business to sell and service cars. And car dealers and car salespeople and everybody in the industry kind of makes a big deal out of stores changing hands. It's a big rumor mill. And I've been a part of that rumor mill before. I have bought and sold a lot of car dealerships over the years. And matter of fact, I think I've been going out of business about 157 times. And none of those actually happen. But it is that's just the way rumors kind of spread when things are good or bad or indifferent. But, you know, sometimes people just, I guess they gossip because they just don't have anything else to do. If we all just mind our own business and stay busy, focusing on our business, as we say in the car business, then things would be a lot better. The competition in between dealers can be pretty cutthroat. Typically, it hasn't been in my 43-year career. I remember when we were operating Lawson Chevrolet down here in Greenville on 804 East Church Street in Greenville. I always hated to have to say that in a radio commercial. East Church Street. It was so hard. But anyway, we were one of our biggest competitors was a little dealership in Johnson City called Sherwood Chevrolet, you know, where they mark them up just a little bit. That was their slogan. I loved the Sherwoods. Everybody in the organization was always very kind to us. We were just small potatoes compared to them. Back then, there was no internet, and the dealerships pretty much honored each other's territory by not advertising in other dealers' newspapers. And of course, TV was everywhere, but basically, if you're going to advertise, the only way dealers advertised was television commercials, radio commercials, or the newspaper. Direct mail wasn't a big thing back then. But I had great relationships with the Gattons, our Gatton organization. We had a great relationship with Bill Gatton. My dad and he were good friends. But we had great relationships with the managers, you know, and we would do dealer trades. Like, you know what a dealer trade is, that's when I've got a customer for something that I don't have, so I run what we call the locator, and it shows what everybody has in their inventory as far as Chevy dealers are concerned. And if I look on his inventory and I see a black Silverado truck that I need, then I call the dealership, ask to speak to the sales manager, who I probably know at that point, and say, hey, man, I really need that Silverado you got. And he said, I don't know if I want to give it up. What do you got? So we would trade something. It's called a dealer trade. So he would check my inventory out, and I would drive it up there and pick it up. The dealer requesting the trade is the one that always has to, you know, come and do the swap. But Sherwood was great. to work with, a guy named Carol Foster. You may know him. He's a farmer and a gentleman and just a good old country boy that I just love dearly. And anytime I called Sherwood, he would say, "Now, Lanny, you're not trying to sell it to somebody that we were trying to sell." And I would say, "No, Carol, this is a local person I need." He said, "All right, you can have it as long as you have something we can swap." And so we would work things out. That's kind of the way he talks, too. He's into antique tractors now. He's a farmer and a great guy. But anyway, I could trade with Bunton Chevrolet. I don't know if you guys remember Bunton Chevrolet in Elizabeth, and that's before the Grindstaff days. Steve Grindstaff, his store, would always trade with us. There was a dealer in Morristown at the time. He was a Chevy dealer. His name was Scott Lewis. Scott Lewis Chevrolet. And Scott would not give us anything, and he was hateful. But nice guy now. You know, I got to know him after the fact. His partner was Ben Williamson, who's also a super guy, runs a very successful used car operation in Morristown called Lakeway Auto Sales. I sound like I'm advertising for everybody else right now. But you remember Looney Chevrolet or Latimer Looney even before there was just a Looney? Yeah, the Looney brothers were always great. They had a guy named Ronnie Harwood that worked for them that would always trade with us. I think Ron's still in the car business. Well, I don't know if he might be in the insurance business right now, but Ron was great. And so, you know, normally when you're doing a dealer trade, you're not dealing with the dealer himself. A lot of dealers are kind of gentleman dealers. They don't really stay in the store all that long. They are that often. But back then, pretty much every dealership, I can't think of any in Upper East Tennessee or Southwest Virginia that weren't owned by a person. That's not the case today. Now they are owned by corporations, and these corporations are not up from around here. You can look at the Hudson Group, for example. Now, the guy that runs it is from here, Daniel Johnson, but he's a good friend of mine, and matter of fact, I got Daniel into car business. But anyway, he was he's over all the stores. And the Hudson Group is Johnson City Ford, Johnson City Toyota, Toyota of Kingsport, Honda of Morristown, and who am I forgetting? They own a bunch, but the Hudson Group owns a bunch of dealerships in Kentucky and South Carolina and stuff. And I'm not against dealer groups coming in, as long as they're willing to do business in an upstanding way, and they are. You know, there are some other, like AutoNation owns the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. I knew I'd get it all out. Dealership in Johnson City. Now, that's a big corporation. They are the largest franchise holder in the country. AutoNation is the largest dealer group. But there are other dealers like Terry Taylor. That's a big dealer group out of Florida. They own Ted Russell Ford in Knoxville, Toyota Knoxville. I think there's some partners involved in that store. They own Lance Cunningham Ford. And so there's, you know, you're going to be seeing a lot of this. There's a corporation out of Florida that's buying some car dealerships up in East Tennessee. I'll tell you about Dunn Deals. They bought Bachman Bernard here in Greenville. And they're looking all over. I can't remember the name of the company. It's letters like AMP or something like that. Not A&P, you know, the grocery store, but AM as in Mary P. That may or may not be correct. So anyway, this is changing the landscape. Now, for the consumer, as I said, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, you're going to see development of some different processes into the dealership that you will never even know about. This whole business is changing. Right now we're in a totally new model that was forced on us by the chip shortage, which means that nobody has much inventory as far as new inventory is concerned, and everybody's ordering cars now. I'd recommend that you do that. You know, no matter where you live, you can call Gateway, for example, Gateway Ford or Gateway Nissan, if you want to Ford or a Nissan, and we can order it for you. And the thing about it is those orders, you get a bonus. If you order a Ford, I think they'll pay you $1,000 when it comes in. And also, whatever rebate there happens to be at the time when it comes in, if there is one, you'll get it. The only thing about ordering a car is you don't know what your trade is going to be worth when it comes in. Now, can 3 or 4 or 5 months make a difference in the trade value? You bet your boots it can. I think that was Bill Gatton's slogan, wasn't it? You bet your boots. But you've got an opportunity to get exactly what you want, and you will get put at the head of the line. So if you want to order a new Ford Explorer or an F-150 or Bronco, for that matter, or the new Maverick, the best thing to do is to call me or send me a text, 552-2020, or the internet department. Or if you don't like me, you can go to some other Ford dealer somewhere. But I would recommend that you order your vehicle right now if you think you're going to want something, because it's kind of slim pickings. Now, we have been getting some F-150s, and we do have several hybrids. Matter of fact, I just bought a truck yesterday. You know, people say, well, why are you buying a truck? You own a car dealership. Because I like driving the same truck all the time. I like knowing where my stuff is and my little cubicles. I like to put, certain things in certain places. And when I have to change cars all the time, I get frustrated. That's another East Tennessee term. So if you want to order a vehicle, now's a great time to do it. I would estimate it's going to be different for every make, but depending on what you want, instead of the 6 to 8 weeks that it used to take, I think it's going to take 8 to 12 weeks to get a normal vehicle. Now, if you want a Bronco, it's going to be a while. If you want a Ford Maverick, for example, the new small truck that is just like it's on fire. People are ordering those left and right, and I think Ford is going to really work hard to produce those down in Mexico. And so if you want one of them, you can go ahead and order that from your local Ford dealer, or I would love to be able to take care of you personally here at Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan in Greenville, Tennessee. So that's kind of a plug. I hope you're not offended, because I am a car guru, and I do my best to stay relatively impartial. No, but if you want a Honda or Toyota or one of those other brands, you can order some of them. Now, there are like certain brands you don't order. The dealer gets allocations, and hopefully you can get what you want. But the good thing about those types of brands, and I'm talking about mostly imports, is that they have very limited option packages and things like that, so they can build vehicles easier to the consumer's taste than like Ford and GM, because GM and Ford, they give you too many options. You know, there's just so many different things you can get on them. And by reducing the number of options and reducing the number of packages that include those options, then it's easier for the dealer to find what you want, even if they can't really order it. So on a situation like that, on a Honda, Toyota, Nissan, sometimes you just go in and say, I want a red Altima with this particular package on it, and then they put in a request, and they try to get that for you. Now, in some cases, those can come in pretty quickly. It's not like ordering a vehicle and actually having it built for you, because there's some brainiac that's sitting in central headquarters that's ordering all their vehicles for them, and they do it based on markets and, you know, regions and where people live and stuff. For example, if you live in South Florida, they don't have a lot of four-wheel drives down there. So that guy, whoever or gal, whoever's ordering those cars are going to order a lot of two-wheel drives, mostly. But if you live up in Maine, then it's a totally different story. So they order vehicles differently for those regions. But now, if you're a Ford dealer or a Chrysler dealer, Jeep, General Motors, we order everything individually. The factory doesn't just decide what they're going to build and then send them to us. Doesn't work that way. Thank goodness. But anyway, I'm going to take my first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, after that rather long-winded segment, I will try to speed things up here a little bit. I was reviewing a lot of the buying mistakes that people made, lists that I've made over the years. I've tried to consolidate it as much as possible. You know, I think people make a mistake when they buy on the spur of the moment. They think they don't do the research. And it's just right at your fingertips, folks. I mean, online you can find out just about everything. Make sure you check publications like Car and Driver magazine, Road and Track, Motor Trend. They do a lot of good tests. Some people are addicted to Consumer Reports. I am not. They think the only car made is built by Toyota. And so they're somewhat biased. a little bit. But the research can be done in multiple ways. But I like reading reviews that auto or car magazines have done, like Car and Driver. They do thorough tests, and they also do great comparisons between different brands. Now, you know, do I always agree with them? No. But they're pretty sharp folks, and they have a pretty good argument for the way they feel about things. Now, I've seen some tests of the Jeep Wrangler to the new Bronco, and you know they say most of them say, well, the Bronco is better right now, but the Jeep is so close that you're not going to be unhappy if you get either one, and but it's a little bit too early to tell on the Bronco. So they always, you know, qualify sometimes their comments about vehicles. But still, I think that's a good resource. I think it's a mistake to just get a quote from one dealership. If you just really like doing business with somebody and you trust them and they like you and trust you, then, you know, that's fine. But if you don't know anybody in the car business, and then you probably should shop around a little bit right now, because there's a lot of gouging going on, especially on certain models. You know, for example, if you want to buy, I don't know, a Silverado, I don't know what kind of deals you can get right now. I'd say everything's pretty close to MSRP, but somebody might have a better deal. They might throw in a Yeti cooler or something like that if you buy one. You're not going to see any big discounts on much of anything right now, but that's okay. As long as your trade-in is worth good money, which it is, as long as you've taken care of it. And that's another thing I want to mention is, folks, get your car cleaned up before you take it in to trade it. I mean, if you were selling your house, would you vacuum the carpet and wash your windows? Of course you would. Then clean your car up before you take it in to trade it. Get it all spit shine. Get the tires shiny. You know that tires shiny stuff? You know, car dealers, and I mean, used car appraisers and salespeople, they're humans, believe it or not. And they are influenced by what they see. And if they see a dirty car and they pull the dipstick out and the oil's black and there's no windshield washer solvent and there's a stain that looked like somebody was murdered on your front seat, then, you know, they're not going to feel good about it, and you're not going to get good money for it. You need to get your car cleaned up. Get it detailed before you go trade it. What does it cost to get a car detailed? Well, it's more than just getting it washed, I can assure you. You don't drive it through the car wash and say, hey, I detailed my car. No, you take it to somebody that's going to spend about half a day or a full day on your car, probably a full day, and it's going to cost you a couple hundred dollars. Is it worth it? I think so. I think it's way more than worth it, because it does have an impact on the way car dealers look at your vehicles. Approach the dealership through the internet first. I think you'll learn a lot about it, and you'll be less intimidated than just driving on the lot. At some dealerships, driving on the lot is like, you know, like a little mouse in the desert that looks up, and on a branch he sees about, you know, four or five hawks and a couple buzzards. And you're the intended meal. That's not comforting. If you see a bunch of salespeople standing out front loitering, that's not a good sign, number one. Number two, if one of them doesn't get off their duff and come over and wait on you, then that's not good either. If they make you walk to the group, that was my wife calling. I probably should answer that here in a minute. Also, remember, internet department's a great way to go. Don't focus on the monthly payment. The monthly payment is the worst way to buy a car. I know that that is impactful as far as your budget is concerned, and you need to have an idea of you need to have a really good idea about what you can afford to pay per month and stick to that. But don't buy the car based on the monthly payment. We've talked about that ad nauseum. That means until I'm sick of talking about it. But, you know, you really make a mistake when you buy a car based on the monthly payment. What are you paying for the car? What are they giving you for your trade-in? And then what's the trade difference? That's what you pay, plus tax. Now, if you have a payoff on your other car, that's a factor. But you've got to add that in. You've got to take into account tax and then look at the insurance cost and what kind of borrowing cost you're going to have. You go into a car dealership prepared to succeed, not prepared to fail. So that's just my point. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a momento. Okay, folks, are you prepared for a tech explosion in your brain, a technology explosion? because that's what's going to happen if you haven't bought a car in the last 10 years. You're going to see things that you had no idea about, and it's easy to get wowed over that. That happened to me today with a guy looking at an F-150, or I'm sorry, yesterday. Looking at an F-150 yesterday evening, I took him to my new demo or my new car that I'm buying, the new F-150. I'll get it right in a minute. And showed him just some of the tech. And he said, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. And how much is this truck? Oh, no wonder it's got so much tech in it. They're expensive. This truck is $75,000. It's a half-ton pickup truck. That costs $75,000 retail. And I remember in, probably the late 70s, when the first or early 80s, when the trucks first hit 20,000. And I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, how are we going to sell these things? These farmers aren't going to spend $20,000 for a truck. Well, today, farmers aren't buying them. It's everybody else is buying them. And they have, and inflation has had a major impact, but also all this technology. So just be prepared. You know, if you're older and you really don't think tech very well, you're just not used to it. Maybe you're still using a flip phone, for example. Take somebody with you that understands tech, because the salespeople, they'll spend a lot of time talking about stuff that doesn't mean anything to you, and you don't even need to pay attention to it. And maybe you don't need to spend that much. You know, maybe, for example, instead of buying a platinum truck like mine, you might, an XL or an XLT might be fine, these different packages. Don't overpay for something that you don't need and you're never going to use. It makes no sense to do that. Maybe an XL, like I say, an XLT instead of a platinum. I mean, some of these decisions are a little bit easier and more straightforward than you really think they are. As usual, I'll be glad to help. Just call me, 423-552-2020, or send me a text message, and I'll be glad to help guide you through this maze of automotive technology. We'll see you tomorrow.